Welcome to Finding Your Voice. I am your host, Per Bristow. I'm the creator of The Sing With Freedom, The Singing Zone, Speak With Freedom, Perform With Freedom, Peak Performance Mastery Training Programs, and other goodies. And here we are going to go deep into areas of voice, expression, communication, performance, releasing fears. Who are we really? How can we release what we are truly capable of in life? Get ready for some powerful conversations with some really fascinating people from all around the world. All right. Well, today I'm here with Annie Mullen. Welcome, Annie. Or Anne Marie is your real name, right?
It is, yes. Yes, that's what they used to call me in Ireland, where I was born. Anne Marie Mullen. Although some people who are very close to me used to call me Flossie.
Well, how about that? So here's the thing. You have such an amazing, rich story, rich life. And you have shared a little bit with me right before we started recording here. And it's absolutely fascinating. I first met you at my event in New York. And I know you've been part of my trainings. But right now, you are in Las Vegas, yes?
Yes. And actually, Henderson. It's about 10 miles off the strip.
But you have had a rich career in Las Vegas as a singer. So,
yes.
But you have, well, you're going to see. You who are watching and listening to this, you're going to see what this is all about. Because at one point, you had no voice whatsoever.
Correct.
And where do you want to start?
Well, let's just start by saying that, you know, when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, I'd run home from school and I'd get to this point running up the stone steps. We lived in corporation housing and the echo there was fantastic. And all the neighbors knew when Anne was home because I would just start singing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it struck me as I delve into your program, which I love, everybody kept saying, oh, you're a natural singer. You have this wonderful natural voice. Well, the reason why I could sing was because I sang all the time. And especially in that echoey place, I would just go out there and sing Barbra Streisand and the Beatles and, you know, anything that I love, My Fair Lady, anything that was popular, West Side Story, I'd go out there and just sing all the songs.
Yeah. And this is also what's so interesting, by the way, with what we're going to cover here today, because many times we think about finding your voice means that it's about people who have been silent or shut down and then discover their voice later in life, which is incredibly important and also very common. But here we actually have a little bit of the other way around. You always sang, but then other things happened later in life.
Yes.
So when you were a child, you sang all the time then.
Yes. Yes. And the nuns told my mother I had a great voice. So when I was 14 years of age, I started my music career. I left school, went into talent contests, ended up in a band. My first trip when I was 16 or 17 was to Canada. And then I went to New York. And I was very lucky to become involved with some of the wonderful people in music in Ireland, particularly Bill Whelan. Bill Whelan, who composed all of the music for Riverdance. Mm-hmm. He would write jingles. And this is like when he was just starting out, he would write jingles and I would go in there, Yaple yogurt like you've never tasted before. I would do stuff like that and let your fingers do the walking. And so you would hear my voice on the radio. And then I started doing some records and I did a lot of backup in the studio for other artists, which became my first love. I loved being in the studio, stacking, you know, harmonies, and didn't even have a car or a phone. Bill Whelan would send me a telegram.
Okay.
Oh, now you know how old I am.
So you had a serious career even in your early teens then.
in my early teens did TV. I actually even went to Europe and did Eurovisions, but as part of the orchestra.
Okay.
I was there when ABBA won.
Oh, wow.
I was in the Netherlands when ABBA won at Eurovision. So wonderful career. And then I got the opportunity to go to Las Vegas with a group, an Irish group that did a mixture of music and were very popular in Las Vegas. And they wanted me to go when I was 18, but my mother and father said, uh-uh, you're too young, you're not going there. So I finally went when I was 21.
Okay.
That's when they give you the key to the door in Ireland. They say, okay, you can come and go as you please.
Right.
And so I ended up in Las Vegas, got married, got divorced after 4 years. And, you know, I kept singing, but there were things starting to break down inside of me. And I really didn't have a whole lot of people. I had people skills, but I didn't have life skills. I don't think I even knew how to fry an egg or wash behind my ears. You know what I'm saying? But I knew how to sing.
Yeah.
And then after I got divorced and everything, I joined a duo situation. We were called Annie and Kenny. Fabulous musician who played all these multi-keyboard things. Well, I did all the singing.
Okay.
So 6 nights a week, 4 shows a night.
Oh, wow.
Not knowing anything about compensatory muscles. And I was like a human jukebox. There'd be people at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I'm not kidding you, throwing $100 bills at me saying, sing Total Eclipse of the Heart one more time. And I'd like be just screaming.
Yeah.
Not for the money, but, you know, I mean, I knew how to connect with an audience and I knew how to, I'd go down there into the audience and grab a guy by the tie and just sing right into his face. I had all that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't happy inside. Something started breaking down. And I think it was the failed relationships. There were a few abusive relationships. I was very far from my family. I was actually at one point in time estranged from my family because I didn't know what to be saying to them. I didn't feel good inside.
Yeah.
And so I woke up one morning, no voice.
Wow.
Went to go sing and I was like, went to some vocal coaches. They told me I had a glottal stop. Had them put things down my throat. The doctors looked in there. Yeah, they look a little bit swollen, but you're okay. And at the age of 33 or 34, I found experiential training, which this particular one was called LifeSpring. It was in California. So it ended up being very, very beneficial to me because it put me back in touch with myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't stop living. I did other creative things, like I learned how to do reflexology. I went to community college and studied psychology. And I started to peel the layers off.
Okay.
That allowed me to live and feel. Now, all the while, I think fear kept me from exploring my voice because I didn't want to lose it again.
Right.
And so I did other things. I always landed on my feet. And I was very lucky to meet the love of my life. We've been married for 30 years. Mm. I've raised 4 stepkids and 2 adopted kids. I have 4 beautiful grandchildren now who live within like a 30-minute radius. What? 3 of them live 5 minutes down the street. Very hard right now, you know, to not be seeing them because we're all a little bit sequestered.
Yes.
But we Skype and we talk and it's all good.
And we should explain that depending on when people are watching this, we are recording this right in the middle of this corona mess where we're all stuck in our homes.
My yes. corona. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't need me to make a joke, but you have to.
But the beauty of technology, we can still do these things.
Yes, so, and I'm doing yoga online every day. I have set up a structured day that if I don't do it at the designated time that I've said I'm going to do it, there's flexibility, but I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Like parts of your program. And let me come full circle here, because I've been to lots of voice coaches and, you know, revisiting my voice. And it wasn't until I watched that introductory promo for your stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
That I'd never heard anybody speak the way you speak. You speak from the heart. You speak with a truth that allows people to feel comfortable. And when you talked about the compensatory muscles, it immediately made sense to me. And I've never been speechless, but I'm speechless right now. It's such it has worked wonders for me, because I was able to revisit the joy and the heart of it all. And you have brought me full circle. You have absolutely given me back. Now, I know it's not what it used to sound like before. And I do struggle with that, because I know that it doesn't have to sound like it used to. And I am in the process of developing a whole new Annie, a whole new voice, a whole new, I have the theatrics, I have the connection, I know how to make a song, I know how to put the intention behind it and all that. But building my now I know you don't like the word confidence, but building trust just to let it be. When you said, it doesn't have to sound good. It doesn't, you know, let yourself be, let it fly. Do your thing. Just make sound. You know, that's what I used to do as a kid. So thank you so much, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm loving the Peak Performance program.
Oh, wow. Well, you brought up
the 4 F's the other day. I mean, I know I'm all over the place here because I'm excited.
Well,
that's
wonderful. Now, you brought up a bunch of things that I think we should go a little bit deeper on. Because you talked about losing your voice. And then you talked about you were doing other things. And you let singing sort of be, you weren't singing much then. You were doing other things to explore who you were, who you are. And I think that's fascinating. So you mentioned here before we started recording here, that you think that something that brought the voice back, if you want to use that word, which I'll comment on later, was not so much about physical training, but it was more of an emotional release. What do you think?
Yes, because singing is very personal to me.
Yeah.
It's not just about entertaining an audience. For me, just the resonance of the notes, it aligns me. It makes me feel good from the inside out. And I work on that a lot. I work on that with yoga and I've done a program called Brain Management Training in Sedona. And all that does is it teaches you how to be aware of, it's okay to be emotional, but not letting your emotions run you. Not letting other people be in the driver's seat of your car. You know who you're with. And it's not about not being all guarded or anything like that. It's about the opposite of being open. It's about being positive and active and grateful and have humility and really feel those things. And so your program has awakened all those things in me again. I mean, let me just go back a little bit. When I was 18 years old, my big sister, who's 10 years older than me, was doing yoga. And I noticed that she was starting to look better and feel better and everything. She had started doing yoga. She started changing her diet. And the Irish diet I know they're eating better now, but back then it was fried, boiled, or whatever. And so she taught me the importance of good health when I was 18. Yeah. That has stood for me as well over the years, because that basic training in good health has helped me be as healthy as I am today. And I keep coming back to your training. That does the same thing from the inside out. It's very nurturing. Your training, that's what I can say, is your training is as nurturing as a good meal.
There you go.
As good food.
Thank you. Here's what I think is so interesting. Is that here we have a singer who's extraordinarily excelling at what she does, right? Singing, what did you say, 4 shows a night, 6 nights a week, right? Mm-hmm. This is, anyone can understand that that's tough. But you're doing it successfully, and you're able then to connect with the audience. The audience loves you and all this kind of stuff. So you're getting all this dopamine, you're getting all the reward chemicals, and at the same time you're feeling something is not fully there with your life. So incredibly common. This is so incredibly common, I would say, for achieving success in any area. But here it's extreme, because you're spending so much time, you're in front, you are in front of the audience all the time, right? You always have to deliver. It's also the pressure of delivering plus the joy of delivering, right? And then suddenly, as you say, you woke up and there's nothing there. Now, we don't know what that nothing was, really. Maybe it could have been fixed. But even that feeling in and of itself, we can understand how traumatic that is. Suddenly everything shifts in a moment, and the extraordinary fear that enters your body right there, your being, which probably was there already. But we understand that. So the trauma of not being able to express is so important, the ability to express is so important, and not being able to do it is so traumatic for so many people, for everybody, I would say. Some have experienced that trauma through the ages, or grown up with never have been allowed to express, whether that allowance comes from the outside or most likely also from the inside.
It was my identity. I lost my identity.
Good point. That's right. Your identity lies in your voice. So not being able to express for everybody is so, it takes such a toll on our psychology, on our human being, and it affects our identity. So I've also had the issues when I had no voice, but, and I think most people have probably experienced that, or at least been afraid of it. Oh no, I'm going to lose that. Am I going to be able to do what I love to do? Whether you are a professional voice user or you're someone who's always been quiet and never speak up, right? So anyway, so that fact that you went on a journey there, you said, oh, forget about this, I'm going to explore my life in a different way, is rather remarkable. It's impressive in a sense, and it's pretty amazing that you did that. And you also spoke to that before we started here, that you are a survivor. You've always found a way to explore something new, to explore new opportunities. You're a creative person. You've always been, you create your shows, you create your opportunities, so you're an artist in that way. And then you manage to use that artistry in, or that creativity, to find different ways. And then you've discovered, perhaps even more so now than you had before, that the voice is not just a physical expression of singing songs and singing tunes and singing lyrics. It really is a deeply connected with our soul, with our being. And
absolutely.
And that's,
yes,
as you pointed out, which I'm grateful for, is that that's what I've always been about then. But you've also mentioned muscle compensation. So when I talk about muscle compensation and becoming more aware of the physical stuff that's going on, we think that that's just about muscles, artificial, external. Well, it's not external, it's muscles, right? But what actually happens, it actually taps deeper into our soul, into our psychology, and for several reasons. But one is the reason that you pointed out, because now we're no longer concerned about the result. And everybody, right, the better you become, the more concerned you are about the result. Now you have to up yourself. You have to do better. You have to be, and as soon as you have a bad night, you're going to feel good, because now it's not up to your standards. Happens to athletes, happens to anyone, right? We,
yes,
come to a certain level. So this is good in a sense, because you have a high level of ambition. You have a high ambition level, right? You have high standards. This is good. That's why you're a high achiever in that sense. But it also creates greater and greater fear, greater and greater pressure to have to live up to those standards. So is this making sense?
Oh, this is completely,
wait,
I couldn't have said
wait,
it any better. Uh-oh.
Oh, here you go. Okay, go again. What did you say?
No, I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. That is exactly, and these are the things that I have discovered for myself. You know, yeah, is that I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yes.
To do it correctly. And the more I do that, the more I'm cutting myself off.
Yes.
I just have to chill, man.
Chill.
No, really.
Well,
you
here
know?
Also, you now come, we've understood now, you say you have grandkids, so you're obviously mm-hmm. not 30 or 40. So.
No, I'm not.
Well, you certainly seem very youthful. And
thank you.
So the trap also now is to think, oh, I'm supposed to live up to the standards when I was so-and-so age. Or mm-hmm. people feel that I need to get my voice back because I had something, some injury or something going on. Mm-hmm. That is a really such a huge trap. When we try to get back something or to compare ourselves with the past, it doesn't
yes.
work. Stop it. The only
yes.
thing that we're interested in, can we improve from today? That's all there is.
Exactly. I mean, can I put the same emotion into a song that I used to sing by Sheena Easton, where I would sing in her key? Can I put that same emotion a step and a half or two steps down?
Right.
Well, of course I can. I just have to be okay with that.
Right.
You know, I have to be, and I'm getting better at being okay with that.
Well, that's
as
good.
Long as my heart's in the right place. And you know, I read a book recently, and it's called I Want to Live for 120 Years. Okay. And the book is not about living till 100, 120 years, although who knows? It's more about living your life on a daily basis in an honest way. And none of us are going to get out of dying. Right. One day. None of us are getting out of that. It happens. Mm-hmm. But for me, you're already doing this. You're contributing to, that's a weird digression, but I'll get there. I believe in the completion of the soul. I feel that if you're contributing to the universe in the best way you know how, which I feel you're doing, you know, when it's your time, you're not going to be laying on your deathbed going, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You're going to be free, Per. You're going to be free because what you're doing is such a huge contribution to humanity. And it's my intention to be able to contribute more in whatever way that I can to people so they can find their own selves just by being myself. And you are a blessing. You really, really are. And you don't have to worry about whether or not your soul will be complete.
Wow.
Because I see you. I see you. And you are a good man. And what you do is powerful. In many ways. Now I'm getting teary, but you.
Well,
but
so am I. I'll tell you this: that it's interesting that you say that, and I'm grateful for what you're saying. What's so interesting is that even though we hear that, and I know a lot of artists hear, and I fall into this trap myself. To feel that I'm not up to standard, I'm not good enough, I should be doing more. So it's so interesting. So, and once in a while we need to hear that. But when we get that reward from other people and people tell you great things about it, sometimes it's hard to take in.
Of course.
And I really try to, because it's very easy that a little part of our brain goes, but I'm still not. Yeah, but I'm still not, right? And this is my whole coaching, because even like super successful people or people are absolutely beautiful, they can be showered with accolades, what's the word, you know, and they still don't feel good enough. And we see, you know, world-class artists can't live their lives, you know, so it's really interesting, the human condition, why we fall into that trap, all of us. So like I said, we want to be aware of the ambitions if we are ambitious, and I'm a very driven guy, I want to accomplish things, I have lots of ideas, and I've talked about this when it comes to creativity, that what's really annoying is to have ideas in our heads. We want to implement, right? And this is what I encourage people to implement ideas, because that's the reward. If it's successful or not, the result of it, we can improve that, we can work on it, but at least put it out there so it's not stuck inside of just an, you know, mental idea.
It doesn't have to be a huge idea. It can be little ideas along the way, right? It doesn't have to be huge.
Exactly. Exactly. But that drive to want to accomplish can also be a trap. It is a trap, because that drive then means that nothing is ever good enough. And even though we accomplish amazing things and people love us, I'm still not good enough. So it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. So where are you with that now? You may not sing, or if someone judges you, they might say, well, you could sing higher notes back then, but you might be more interesting now.
Well, you
know, if that's even important. But how do you feel internally now when you sing? What does singing do for you these days?
Well, a couple of months ago, I went out and sat in with some of my Irish friends that I used to sing with all those 40 years ago that I came to Las Vegas with. A couple of them were, you know, jamming at an Irish pub outside. and it was a beautiful evening, and I sat in and sang four or five songs with them, Irish songs, and there were some people in the audience who, you know, came up to me afterwards and said, "Wow, you still got it. Oh, you sound better than ever." And I mean, my voice was very rich, and I really enjoyed it. After four or five songs, I was done, because I did start to get a little bit nervous, because I didn't want to push it too much, right. Because I'm very protective of my voice at this point.
Well, you're not conditioned to sing selective. 4 hours straight.
Right. So, you know, I got that kind of feedback not so long ago. And, you know, I go into school and I sing, and I do recitals with my grandchildren, and they all play piano, and I'm taking piano lessons, and I go to the lady who plays piano. I do some vocal with her as well. And I typically warm up with you, and then I go to her and we do her warm up, and it's good for me to sing.
Yes.
You know, for her, because she's somebody who's there, and she's wonderful. Absolutely. You know, she's going to help me record some stuff. And so, you know, we're working on some creative things. I don't have any big, like, ideas about anything I want to do. I just want to sing every day, you know, and whatever happens, happens.
Sometimes I feel before, maybe life, you know, would be easier if I didn't have these big ideas.
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And then, frankly, I don't worry about it. You know, I mean, and as I told you before we started, you know, I even opened for people on the Strip, and I was part of the Letterman for a little while because one of their guys was sick or something. And so I know what that whole celebrity thing feels like. And I don't have a big yen to go out there and do that all over again. I'm very picky and choosy, and
yeah,
not guarded, but protective.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, some days I go to sing and I'm going, okay, let's not push this. And then other days I'm like, oh man, I'm really flowing, but I don't worry about it.
Right. So I am curious, how come you joined my Peak Performance Mastery Training, which is more about the mental stuff and how to be able to perform under pressure or come alive under challenging situations in life, not just on stage. But
what very, very, very interesting question. I revisit your program often because there's a saying. Let me see if I can get this right. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. There are so many things that we miss when we're going through. So when we revisit, oh, wow, yeah, I either heard it differently or I didn't implement that correctly. The Peak Mastery performance for me really speaks to helping me to just, it's like life lessons. It's like life lessons with music thrown in there. It's the reminder. It's the wake up. Okay, yeah, you forgot that. Yeah, oh, now you're hearing that. Now, oh, that sounds different. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Like, you know, in that first lesson, you said, just get a pen and write down stuff. And I did, and I was amazed. I mean, I don't remember what I wrote, but it was nice to get that flow. It was a release. It was like, so it, the
and
reason
that's a good
I'm doing
point,
it is
because the idea is not to remember. It's not a memory exercise. It is
exactly,
to be able to tap into what's going on in the moment. Well, it's interesting what you say, because often we think that word peak performance is just about being the best on the sports field or being on the big stage in the big front of the big audience. But it really is about being able to tap into daily life, be able to see life in different perspective, reduce stress, be able to take on challenges and live life with greater fulfillment, honestly. But So I'm really grateful.
Yeah, it's the stuff. Yeah. It's the stuff sort of behind the music, or the silence in between the notes, you know, that the new program really kind of gets into. Yeah. And without it sounding too heady or too like deep or anything like that, it's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, what I get out of it is a reminder. Yes. About, you know, keep this.
Yep. And you can also cool. relate to keep it because cool. you've been in many high pressured situations.
Yes.
Well, we all have. It's just that the high pressure is in different situations in life. High pressure might be that uncomfortable conversation we need to have, the negotiation we need to have, or the relationship that's falling apart, or we can't pay our bills next week. That's high pressure, right?
Yes.
So it's all these high pressure situations. How can we find solutions? How can we be at our maximum capacity in those situations? So, well, what a fascinating, it's like you said, what was it you said? Going from a living jukebox to, from being a jukebox.
A human jukebox.
from a human jukebox to living life fully. Maybe that will be the title of this.
Well, that's kind of the way it was, you know, just.
You've lived four lives, I think you said also.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Always able to land on my feet and find my way through without. Now I don't avoid the pain. Whereas before, I think we have a tendency as human beings to do things that distract us and take us away from feeling our bodies and feeling pain. And I think it's very, very important. It's like if you lift weights one day, you're going to feel your arms are tired the next day, but then the next day, or if you vocalize one day, maybe your voice is tired the next day, you're going to be better the next day. It's the same with the pain in our body. You know,
yes.
Speak to the pain in your body. Get in touch with the pain in your body, because wherever your mind goes, energy follows.
Yes.
And that's a very important, I don't mean to sound like the teacher here, but that works for me. Yeah. If I want to heal something in my body, I'm just going to send energy there.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I had a DEXA scan last year that showed no sign of the previous condition that I had, which is like the fraying of bones in my body. There's a name for it. Can't think of it right now. But it's there was no sign of it.
Osteoporosis, you mean?
Hmm?
Osteoporosis?
Yeah, it's osteoporosis. It's pre... I can't remember what the name is, but yes.
Okay.
And they couldn't find it.
Huh.
And I feel it's because I was putting some love on myself and just, you know, feeling that energy, getting those hands going, feeling the energy and just directing it. And, you know, what can I say? I'm a powerful woman. No, I really
everybody
think it's important.
Take that in.
Yeah.
Say that to yourselves. Give yourself some love and recognize the power you have within.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I know it sounds a bit woo-woo, but, you know, it works for me. And I'm going to keep doing it. If I've got little things going on, I'm going to heal it.
Nothing woo-woo
especially
about love.
And the wonderful thing that is so miraculous is this, just touching this.
Okay.
Just touching that and knowing that it's just there and just making that sound. I find myself doing it. Watch, I'll be on stage going, no.
But it's a good point. It's a remarkable thing we have.
It's a simple,
that we can set sound in motion by choice if the voice is functional. If the voice is not functional, it doesn't happen so easily.
Yeah.
Or with strain.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, everybody, you who are watching, listening to this, go out there, make some sound, feel that wonderful vibration. Give yourself yes. some love. Recognize the power you have within. What else? What are some other takeaways from this?
Just, you know, have a positive mind. Be yeah. active and sincere and have some humility. Now have some humility.
I lost just that last be sentence. Kind. My ear fell off here again.
My headphones. Okay. Just be kind to yourself.
Yes, good point.
And the more you fill up your love cup, the more you do stuff for yourself that is nurturing. The more it's, then you can love other people because your cup just spills over.
Yeah. And another thing we we talked about that we touched on, which is so important for everybody, which I talk about all the time, right, is try and let go of the judgment.
Oh yeah.
And
I'm not perfect. I do it.
And that's part of the trauma there of not waking up and not having a voice would not have been so traumatic unless you were in that situation. For another person who does something else in their life, it wouldn't be a big deal and it wouldn't have created that trauma. For you, it did. So yes, give yourself permission to not have to be perfect. How about that?
That permission, man, that word.
Yep.
Love it.
It's a powerful
it's
word.
It's one of the best words you use in your course.
Yeah, and
that
I use
permission
it a lot,
word. Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's a good one.
Give permission, because that's how we actually really give permission to really accomplish amazing things. Mm-hmm. And often we don't do that. Annie,
yes.
I will call you Annie. Thank you so much for this conversation. Wonderful chatting with you. And I wish you all the best.
And I wish you good health to you and your family. And thank you so much for taking this time to chat with me.
And thank you.
I'm going to continue just starting over.
Yay.
Always starting over. It's from a place of who knows what.
It's a beautiful mindset, frankly, to always be a beginner. You know, it's the
yeah.
Zen thing also, a beginner's mind. It's powerful. For you who have been watching or listening to this, this is published both as video and audio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wish you all the best. Go out there, do your thing, release your voice, and we'll chat again. Bye for now, Annie.
Thank you, Per. You're the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.